Hello and welcome to Rise Above 2K. I'm Gax, joined as always by the Unicorn Big. How are you doing tonight, my man?
Bro, I'm so good. I just went out to dinner with the wife. And more importantly, my Lakers Rodman jersey came in today. So now, including Dennis Rodman, there's two people who have this jersey. So yeah,
I was just going to say, that's the second jersey ever in production. and now how many Rodman jerseys are you away from just completely icing out the catalog?
So that's a two-part
answer.
The easy answer would be one, I need to get the Mavericks jersey, which he played an amazing 14.2 rebound per game.
Stats were high, games 12, were low.
Yep. 12 game stint. Right. But I was talking to my wife today, and really, if I want to go all out, and this is, you know, a longer term commitment, I can get the Pistons home Rodman jersey, the Spurs home Rodman jersey, and then all the Bulls jerseys, and then, you know, on and on. So I think the count could be 10 to 12 Rodman jerseys.
You're just talking home and away, though.
Yes.
So, okay. But is there a North Central Texas College situation coming into play here? Do those exist?
So he played at Southwest Oklahoma.
Yep.
And that was North Central Texas. NAIA school. But he was, I think, a two or three time All-American. And the stats he put up, because remember, he didn't play high school ball. He grew from when he was like 18 to 20, from 5'10 to 6'8.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden got on the basketball court, like his sisters, who were both Division I basketball scholarship players.
Well, I'll tell you right now, that's my plan from 36 to 38. But we'll see how it goes. And you'll be along for the ride if you follow this podcast. We'll chronicle my growth in that time. But we're here at Rise Above 2K, we're all about everything NBA 2K. We're going to talk to the Unicorn Big about some of the growth that's happened over the last week in the game. But if you like what you hear, like and subscribe, throw down a comment of things you're going to want to hear. We're a community that's driven around our Discord, which is a non-toxic, really communal place for people who want to grind, grow, and get better at the game. And here at the podcast, we're always chronicling that growth for our members, for the Unicorn Big, and for the game in general. How has the week been for this game for you, man? How is grinding out there been treating you?
So there's two parts of that answer. I would say, A, as far as me personally and my own stats, I'm continuing to get better. My shooting percentage in rec is up to almost 62%, which I think is more than Shaq. And I'm maintaining an A- grade. A lot of games, I have the highest grade on the team. But I've slipped a little bit in winning percentage. My rank has stayed about the same in Texas, right around that 18,000. Had a good day today, but had one game where our whole team went 8 for 38 or 8 for 35 from three, and I went 5 for 6 from three. We had three players who missed all their three-pointers. And so I've had a little bit of bad luck on there. Had, you know, few toxic players who decided to take over the game. And so that's that. But it's a new season. So yeah. I'm really focusing on having a good winning percentage for this season. And we'll see how the overall one lands in the next couple weeks. But, you know, I'm gold plate right now. So going to continue that march back to purple. And, you know, going to keep setting screens, keep making baskets. I had one game. We won by 3 or 4 points and I scored 37. I mean, I put the team on my back because I think I'm the big by default. People think like I can't shoot, but typically I have the best shooting percentage on my team. So when people actually start passing me the ball, I'm just draining. That game, I went 10 for 12. I had a 3-game streak earlier this week where I didn't miss a three. I went like 15 for 15. So if I'm open, I'm going to make it.
Yeah. And like, you got to put it up.
Got to put it up. So I'm becoming a really good popper. And I would say I'm really like starting to get a little bit better and more comfortable at seeing where my man's playing the pick and pop. And I just have that room to shoot right down the lane and go for the bucket for the pick and roll. So, yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm excited. This weekend's going to be grind. Yeah, and let's go. Always.
Well, it's new season, obviously. So we got to go fresh on it. And I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on how difficult it is to random queue, because we've done that in episodes past. But just for the people out there who are experiencing the same grind, there often is a default mode when you're solo queuing that I don't want to make the mistakes. I don't want to feed. I don't want to be the one who loses us the game. You're taking a little bit of a different approach and saying, okay, when the time is right, when it's smart for me to take shots, I'm going for it because I'm confident in my ability to convert. And that's what ends up leading the team. Do you see a little bit of rally from the people who are randomly queued with you when they see that execution start to go? Are they starting to dish out to you even though you're a big? Or is it just like a general rally cry and sort of a rally for the crew?
So what I've noticed is once I get open and make two or three, and they keep leaving me open, or I keep finding a way to be open, they really start feeding me. I think one of the issues, right, is guys just really love to slash, love to dunk. That's the way their builds are set up, and like, that's all fine and dandy. Yep. Take the two.
Yep.
But I'm wide open, and as we said in an earlier pod, three is more than two.
Yes.
And if I'm automatic from 3-point, and you're driving every single time, at the end of the game, if we lose by 7, you know, could be a reason why. So,
well, and another thing we've chronicled about solo queuing is people feel like, you know, if even in times of failure, it's I've got to carry the ball, I've got to run the play. I think that the note here for everyone who's listening, who's in a little bit of that grind, is keep your eyes up. And if you've got someone, who can do something with it or who's open, always look for that open pass, because that's what's going to develop some winning tendencies. And it's, if you're passing to a big like the unicorn here, because you know he's going to convert the shot, you can pass to anyone who's open and hopefully their build's even more suited. We just happen to have the unicorn here, right?
Yes. And I will say this, and I know we've gone down this trail before, so I'll keep this short. But to my point guards out there, if you are just running around dribbling the ball, trying to make moves, and you get the ball constantly stolen, or you throw interceptions all the time, like, play your damn position and better things will happen. Had one game where we didn't lose by much, and I think our PG averaged 9 points a game. The opposing PG averaged 34 points a game. Wow. So to me, when I see that before the game, I'm like, oh, I better play with my head up and shut this guy down and play the best offense I can. And this dude's literally just like running around the court, getting the ball stolen from him, dribbling up and like all of this stuff, and like not making an open pass and going for crazy shots. And he had a C grade on the game. Everyone else had B plus or better.
Yeah.
So that was just, you know, a sell. So I'm all down, you know, for building each other up and everything. But like, if you're just going to play like that, then like, don't take everyone down with you. You know, so.
Okay. So we're sitting in at the very start of a new season. And I know that you're ostensibly itching to get off this recording so you can go grind. What does this weekend and this upcoming week look like for you in terms of a new season, trying to get some stuff done? What are kind of your goals and your approach to what you're trying to get done?
So I'm going to knock on wood here.
Okay. I'll knock on it with you.
Oh, yeah. So next Friday, we're going to Houston to see the Houston season opener, home opener, KD's first game at home, and more importantly, the Pistons. Right. Yes. So
and put a pin in that. We will get back to that shortly.
Yes, we will get back to that. Looking at next Friday as probably a day where I might be able to play a couple in the morning, but other than that, I'm not going to play the game. Really looking at the next 6 days, and saying, can I get out of here, you know, solidly in purple and closer, if not past 500. That's my goal, and to gain a couple thousand in the Texas rank.
Yeah.
Those would be my goals. And, you know, during the week, you only have so much time to play. I mean, I know some people get paid, but you know, it would be interesting to see what cash out shower count is
right
at this point. It's probably 15 since early release,
since beta.
But I mean, I need time to play the game, and I find myself waking up at 7 a.m., 6:30, 7 a.m., getting in two or three rec games before work, you know, because I'm trying to play.
Got a buzz with that Euro crowd, right? Awesome. Well, I like that. It's exciting. And we have our Twitch link in the show notes. So, you know, the majority of time that the Unicorn Big is on, he's streaming. And if you're in our Discord chat, there's a whole channel that'll show you exactly when those streams go live. So if you want to be a part of it, you want to interact, you know, all of that's available to you. All of our socials will let you know. But we do have something big coming up in the coming weeks, and that's the start of the NBA season. And we've talked a little bit about, you know, teams that we think are going to do good in the East or the West, and you know, a couple predictions here and there. But we happen to have favorite teams, which are well chronicled, and we're definitely homers for those teams. But we want to do a little bit of a season preview for those teams. And I know that your number one team would be Detroit, but you happen to live near enough to San Antonio to call them a team of your own. What do you have 10 for minute us?
Drive.
10 minute drive. Near enough is what we'll call it. I live 2 hours from Detroit. What would you, can you give us a little love on what to expect other than Wemby will dominate all? What are we looking for this season out of the San Antonio Spurs in that crowded West field?
So I think health is number one. De'Aaron Fox is going to miss the opener. He'll probably be out 3 to 5 games is my guess.
Timeout. Does every team have a key player that's out 3 to 5 weeks to start the season? Or is it just the Lakers, the Pistons, the San Antonio Spurs, the Boston Celtics? Anyway, you continue.
Well, in Boston and Indiana's case, it's a little longer than 3 to 5 games, but
they're just toast. It's done.
Don't dislike this. If you heard that, no offense, Boston and Indiana fans. But anyways, I think once Fox is healthy, it's going to be really interesting to see how they rotate their three main guards, also being rookie of the year, Steph Castle, and second overall draft pick, Dylan Harper. As it looks right now, it seems that Harper is going to be on the second team. So how much of a step does Steph Castle take in his game? They just wrapped their last preseason game, and I think he put up 16 and 9 assists. And they don't play the fourth quarter. The starters don't play the fourth quarter. So that will be interesting to see. I think obviously they've gotten bigger.
They already have the biggest person in the world. How do you bigger than that?
A big issue with them last year is they didn't have much size in their depth, and they didn't have much size besides Wemby. Now they gained size alone in Wemby because Wemby grew
he's
two
taller.
Inches.
He's taller.
Some are saying he's 7'7". I'll go with 7'5" because that's what he's reported as being.
Again, by the time I turn 38, I'm on the Rodman scale. I might be catching up.
But Harrison Barnes, you know, he's a little undersized,
but a great
for
player.
His position. He's a great player. But they got a lot bigger and better. Luke Kornet is probably one of the best backup centers in the league. And I've seen them multiple times put Wimby and Kornet out at the same time. And it looks good. You have a 7'1 and a 7'5 out there at the same time with the likes of Castle and Vassell and De'Aaron Fox. And you're going to do some serious damage. Kornet, man, like, side note, we went to a Boston game last year when obviously Porzingis was still the starting center.
Yes, yes.
And Porzingis was getting in foul trouble. Yep. And so he was riding pine a lot in that game. So Kornet probably ended up playing like 25 minutes. The dude put up 14 points and 16 rebounds. Like, this dude is nuts,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
He is nuts. And they also picked up Kelly Olynyk. He's probably going to be like their ninth or 10th man, but he's like a 6'10", 6'11" power forward.
Still size.
So they got bigger. They needed to get bigger, and they got bigger. They have more playmaking in their starters with De'Aaron Fox, who's like the fastest player in the league, and on their second unit with guys like Dylan Harper. I don't know if anyone has paid attention to Carter Bryant, but this dude is an effing lock, man.
Okay.
Like, his perimeter defense is crazy.
More
he was
than
only
a glue
the
14th. Guy.
He was only the 14th overall draft pick last year.
Only.
No one's paying attention to him, but this guy can play defense out of his mind. And don't forget about Jeremy Sochan, who's going to miss the first couple games of the season. But this dude's a 6'8 total powerhouse. Don't pay attention to how he shoots free throws because it's one-handed and it's not super pretty.
It's better than two-handed under.
But here's one thing for sure, is that they're going to be super fun to watch.
Yep.
I just convinced my wife for us to go to the Spurs Heat game,
okay,
which will be...
It'll be stat night is what they call that, I think.
Yeah, it's... It's in 13 days, so that's the Spurs' second home game. So we're going to that. They're going to be so much fun to watch.
I already know what your answer to this question is, but I think it's important. If it comes down to a Western Conference final between them and OKC, is there a chance that they're taking four of it? What do you think there?
So, A, I don't think the Spurs are going to make the Western Conference final.
Okay.
And B, I don't think they have a chance in hell against OKC.
Okay.
Over four games, they're not that good yet.
Wow.
Look at Shea. Like, he's a,
yep,
it took him six, seven years to become what he is.
Yes.
Steph Castle, he's probably got another 3 years worth of growth behind him. Wimby, still super young. Dylan Harper, super young. A lot of these guys, Vassell, he's young. Like, besides Harrison Barnes, like, they're starting five, well, and De'Aaron Fox, I guess. Like, they are young. They're a young team. I think my prediction would be, like, they'll probably either get in as, like, the sixth seed, maybe, or I think they'll get in the playoffs and advance past the play-in. Maybe they can surprise some people there.
Yeah.
How healthy do they stay? I mean, when you're 7'5", like, I know Wimby added on some pounds, but when you're 7'5", like, it's not that easy to stay healthy, as we've seen.
Yes. So,
you know, that's a big question mark. If they can find a way to stay healthy through this year, I think they've got a legitimate shot at being, you know, first round, possibly pushing for the second round.
Okay.
But to cap it, I know one thing's for sure. I am super happy and excited to watch only 10 games in person this year.
Okay. He's limiting himself because I know he'd be at every damn home game if he had his way. My job is to talk about my hometown, Detroit Pistons. Well, not my hometown, but near enough. Last year was unprecedented. Two seasons ago, the worst record in all of the NBA. Last year, we put a little 3x next to our win number and really throttled the league in terms of expectations. And we did all of that without Jaden Ivey, who I'm going to get into more in a second, but is a very important part of our team. And when you look at our team across the board, from Cunningham to Ivey to Thompson to Holland to Duran, we're talking about a lot of lottery picks that are starting to come into their own in a very serious way. And as I mentioned earlier, with injuries to teams like Indiana and Boston, a very, very wide open East. And in previous podcasts I've chronicled, you know, how much I love what Orlando is doing, going after free agents and trying to really take advantage of what could be one of the few down years in the East that we're going to see for some time. The Pistons are also very, very well set to do something similar. Now, today we did get some bad news that Jaden Ivey, who I'm pinning all of my hopes on to take a step up along with Cunningham to really propel this team forward, had arthroscopic knee surgery to relieve some pressure. Now it is important to note that this is not related to the injury that kept him out of the NBA the entirety of last season. This is a separate procedure. We're talking 4 to 6 weeks. It'll be reevaluated towards the end of November, early December. And then he can kind of hopefully get back up and running with the team. But when you look at Cunningham potentially being towards an MVP caliber season based on the growth of his numbers over the last two or three seasons, his maturity into the game, into the NBA, and being a true force. You know, I like to think about Trae Young and what he did in Atlanta around the same age, where he carried a team deeper into the playoffs. He was doing it all on his own. It was just like a pure scoring talent. Really similar to what Cunningham has had to do in the past, but with Thompson, Holland, Duran, at some point Ivy, there's so much support that I think that there's a lot more that can come of this team. And I do want to talk about Malik Beasley, because I think at some point he's going to be cleared to play. I think at some point he's going to be a part of the Detroit Pistons. And I think at some point we're going to save a lot of money versus what we were already looking at doing with him. So I think on its base, we have a well-rounded team in a wide open East. And if all the pieces keep developing together the way that they have been, there's a shot that something really, really big happens here. And I'm so excited to watch the team, especially as we get past the All-Star break and everything kind of melds together. I think there's a lot of good stuff.
So, Gax, it's not Duran, it's Duran. Okay, he's not singing his name.
No,
is Rio,
no, it's not Duran. Apologies to everyone. Sorry.
I know, because I have his jersey hanging in my closet.
Of course you do. Yeah. One of all of them. Is it from an obscure college or JUCO that he played for?
It's from the Pistons. But my take on this, like, just from watching the preseason, for the limited minutes that Cade's played, he's only played in three games. He got held out of one. And again, doesn't play in the fourth quarter. That dude is literally doing whatever he wants.
Yeah. He's tough to control.
Last year, he had them. He and Jalen Duran had the most alley oops in the NBA. So that's just like
Lob block. City.
And I was watching him, and it's kind of like in 2K when you're 7'4" and you're going up against somebody smaller, you just shoot over them.
Yeah,
this dude literally like has 50-60% coverage. And just shoots over people from three. Like, he was in the three-point competition last year. I don't think he made it past the first round. What I've noted from this preseason is he's literally gotten so much better at his three-point game. So I would be shocked if Cade Cunningham is not top three, top five MVP. I think he's probably first, maybe second team, all NBA.
It's absolutely where he's trended. The numbers over the last 2 years have shown a growth that's a sustainable growth, that he's going to be pushing that MVP level. And it's not just because he's carrying around a team. He's going to have legitimate support around him this year. And I'm so excited to see the team really come together. And honestly, even if Malik somehow doesn't work out, I still think all the pieces are there to make something very serious happen this year in the East.
Yeah, it's exciting. Don't look now, but you heard it here first, folks. Spurs Pistons in the NBA championship. Get ready.
We've never seen those teams play before, and definitely not like at odds. So we're not going to harken straight back to our high school days, but who knows, man, it could be anything this year. That's great. I appreciate all the insight on the West. We've got the East handled over here. Miami's going to be dog shit this year. That's what I've got for the Heat, which is my second team. Don't watch any of their games unless your team's playing them and you just want to see the scoreboard run up. That's ostensibly where we're at. Unicorn Big, I appreciate your time. It was so much fun to go over everything that's happening in 2K, everything that's happening, Spurs, Pistons, the 13 listeners, that's what they're here for. And they want to see the latest jersey that you've got. They want to see how the Spurs are going to do, how the Pistons are going to do, how bad the Heat are going to be. But most importantly, how your growth is going in the game, what the current state of 2K is. And we so appreciate your time. And I hope that this week is a solid grind and a lot of progress for you.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Gax. Going to keep my head up and try to grind as much as I can. And at the end of the day, I'm just going to rise above.
Rise above every time. We're going to be available in the Discord. We're going to be available on YouTube, on Twitter, on TikTok, on every social media platform. They're all available in the show notes. And thank you for joining us this week. We look forward to giving you more content next week. Let us know the things you want to hear in the comments below, and have a good night.